यानिशा सर्वभूतानां तस्यां जागृति संयमे यस्यां जागृति भूतानि सा निशा पश्यतो मुनेः। सो हियर कृष्णा इज स्पीकिंग अबाउट द जनरल प्रिंसिपल ऑफ द डिफरेंस इन वैल्यूज बिटवीन द सेल्फ रियलाइज्ड पीपल एंड द जनरल मास ऑफ पीपल। This verse is largely metaphorical, although a literal meaning can be taken. The literal meaning is that Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, that which is night for all living beings, Tasyam Jagrati Sanyami, the wise people stay awake at that time, and Yasyam Jagrati Bhutani. And the time when wise people are awake, Sanisha Pashyato Munihe, the remaining people stay asleep at that time. Now, what does this actually mean? It's a natural question that a thoughtful person will get. At one level, we could say literally, serious spiritualists wake up early in the morning, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, so that they can tap the spiritual potency of the early morning hours. Whereas materialist people, they want to stay awake late at night and a party and have their idea of what is fun, and then they sleep by 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. So the time of sleeping for common people is the time of awakening for the self-realized. And the time of sleeping is the time of awakening for the materialistic, time of sleeping for the self-realized. So the self-realized people by sleep by when the 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Actually, when nature sleeps, humans should sleep. When nature wakes, humans should wake. That is the biological cycle. That is the to which the human inner clock is best tuned. But those who consider nightlife to be the real life, they actually gain. They think that the day begins at night. That's when they have all the fun. So at a literal level, we could say this verse means that. But then there is also a bigger question of what the verse means in case of those materialistic people or general people who do not have that kind of schedule, who do not really have a aggressive nightlife and things like that. So actually, night refers to the time of inactivity, and day refers to the time of activity. Or in general, the night represents inactivity and day represents activity. So, what is the arena of inactivity for the general people? Yanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati sanyami. That is the arena of activity for the self-realized. And yasyam jagrati bhutani. And what is the arena of activity for the common people? That is the arena of inactivity for the self-realized. What this essentially means is that the arena of activity for the self-realized is, or for the sanyami, for the restrained who are on the path of self-realization, the arena of activity for them is self-realization. They want to move onwards in their journey towards realizing the absolute truth. So they contemplate on spiritual truth, they study scripture, they meditate. And in this culture of inner growth and inner realization, spiritual realization, they delight. That is the arena that they look forward. That is their activity. But materialistic people think, what is all this? What are you doing? Just wasting your time sitting and thinking. Do something practical. Have a life. Enjoy. So they just can't comprehend it. For them, the whole idea of self-realization is just a waste of time. And in contrast, for them, and what is the arena of inactivity for the self-realized? That is the arena of hyperactivity for the common people. That is sense gratification. The materialistic people think that sense gratification is the very essence and purpose of life. That's what they live for. That's what they look forward to. Now, on the other hand, the self-realized or the self-controlled who are moving towards self-realization realize that sense gratification is the path to bondage. And so they try to minimize sense gratification. They try to have nothing to do with sense gratification, or very little to do, as less to do as possible. So again, the point here is that actually there is very little that is in that sense common between the values of the self-realized and the general people, or the materialists and the spiritualists, if you could just want to put it in simple terms. Now, the context for this discussion is that this kind of self-control, where one gives up everything, one rigorously controls all the senses, that is incomprehensible for the materialistic people. And they will say, this is repressive. You're giving up all enjoyment. What is there in your life to live for? So when there is this huge contrast in the values of the self, of the materialistic and the spiritualist people, Krishna is telling to recognize that this contrast in values is just a fact of life, that one just has to accept it and live with it. There's nothing that one can do about it. So actually, both these classes of people are always going to be there, and it's unchangeable. So the only thing that we can do as thoughtful people is make a wise choice. Whose ranks would we like to be a part of? The materialist or the spiritualist? And the rank that we choose will determine which way we move forward in our life. Whether we move towards Krishna or we move towards Maya. Whether we move upwards in our spiritual and our consciousness towards spiritual truth, or downwards towards more and more materialistic consciousness. So now the mainstream culture may be more and more materialistic, but that doesn't matter for a serious spiritualist, because the serious spiritualists understand that the truth is not determined by vox populi. It is not determined by popular opinion. The truth is the truth, and the truth is that at the level of the body, the pleasure that anyone can get is limited. Real pleasure is available only at the level of the soul. And to get pleasure at the level of the soul, we need to work on making the right choice. So because the pleasure and sense gratification is so limited, and the bondage is so great because of for that limited pleasure, a wise person desists from that pleasure. And in contrast, the wise person focuses on cultivating spiritual knowledge. So now Krishna says that there's two kinds of people. Interestingly, we are usually caught up in between these two kinds of people. Sometimes we feel and act like materialists, and sometimes we feel and act like spiritualists. So how do we develop some consistency in the way we act? That actually requires an awareness of our consciousness, which is much more dynamic and flexible, wherein actually we understand that ultimately spiritual life is a matter of sincerity of intent of the seeker, and that sincerity is expressed through right choices. So although due to our moods, sometimes self-realization may seem to appear dark, may not be seeming to make any progress, seeming to have any taste. You may not seem to find anything in spiritual life interesting. It may seem dark like the night. And on the other hand, sense gratification, everything may seem clear. Oh, there's a sense object, and this is how I can get in touch with it, and this is how I can enjoy. Why give it up? But we understand that what seems to be clear like light is actually entangling and darkening. It darkens our soul. It darkens our spiritual prospects, because we get more attached and more entangled in matter by indulgence and sense gratification. On the other hand, sense control, although it may appear to be miserable, but sense control purifies us, it liberates us, it elevates us, and it ultimately takes us to Krishna, where there is supreme light, there is supreme love, there is supreme happiness. So we need to perceive the path of light then give up the path of darkness, and we need to understand what is light and what is darkness, not just based on our ever-changing perceptions based on the flickering and fickle moods of our mind, but based on the sound, unchanging scriptural truth. When we have that truth in mind, and then accordingly we make choices, then we move forward steadily in our spiritual life, and ultimately we attain Krishna. So thus, the important thing to know in our life is that we have to stand different. Often people want to be special, but in the material life, speciality means actually we don't do anything special. We just try to do the ordinary in a special way. You know, everybody is pursuing eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Everybody is pursuing sense gratification. And people think that if I can just pursue sense gratification in a better way, you know, I can have a bigger car than someone. I can have the most good-looking spouse than... I can have a most good-looking spouse better than those of my friends and others. Then I am better off. But instead of trying to be special among the ordinary, we should try to do something special above the ordinary. That means actually the special among the ordinary is still ordinary only. You know, ultimately it doesn't matter. Even if one does a special kind of sense gratification or the ordinary kind of sense gratification, it's all sense gratification, it's all insignificant pleasure, it's all the cause of bondage ultimately. But special above the ordinary means that we choose higher spiritual happiness. And that actually makes us special, because that gives us special spiritual, special happiness that lasts forever. Unlike the other pleasure, no matter sense gratificatory pleasure, no matter how pleasure it, special it seems, it ultimately turns out to be ordinary. And it ultimately turns out to be entangling and miserable. Thank you.